91.7 KXT, welcome to this Friday. We've got a great show coming to town on Wednesday at the Pavilion at Toyota Music Factory. Ryan Adams returns to the area, and on the phone with me this morning is Ryan Adams. Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Hey, thanks for taking the time to do this. I really appreciate it. We're big fans of yours here at the station. We play a bunch of your music, and I've been a fan going back to the Whiskey Town days, and then, of course, followed your solo career when you decided to break off and do that. And so I just want to thank you for your contribution to music. There is something about your music that really hits me in a special way, and I know it does for your fans as well. So thank you for taking some time to do that and talk with us this morning.
Cool.
Yeah. Hey, okay, so you're coming to town. And I know that you're at the tail end of this tour. Your album came out in February, your album Prisoner, which we love here at KXT. And you've been pretty much on the road since then, haven't you?
I've pretty much been on the road since 2000, 1999. I mean, pretty much consistently. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of a one thing. Yeah.
So, it seems to me that you're one of the more prolific artists that I've ever come across, and it seems like you could put out two or three albums a year, probably. Are you just constantly writing?
No. I mean, I mean, I am and I'm not. I mean, I love to write.
Yeah.
I do. But I don't, even nowadays, like, I don't really subscribe to the putting out two or three things a year. I don't really... although I think that the people who like my records and who are interested in my music would listen.
Yeah.
I think that when you look at the past of bands that who did that or the time where that mattered, it was usually like 7-inch records, like the Smiths or the Minutemen or Black Flag, like times where a single came out maybe like every couple of months.
Right.
But nowadays, I don't think that instant technology, and that listening to music through phones or computer and stuff, I don't think that I don't think it allows for more space for listening. I think it actually allows for less.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Yeah. I mean, I grew up in the 60s and 70s, and I grew up listening to albums, and that was a thing. It was a body of work. And it seems like now that's, to get 40 or 50 minutes worth of somebody's time is really tough. So the emphasis seems to have gotten off of that as the album as a body of work rather than just songs that you put out here and there.
Well, I think that that's also, I mean, in saying that same thing, I think that there's something to be said about the idea that it's like a painting. It's like records are, in my opinion, are like that. Like like the idea of an album itself is—it's a ritual. That there's an A side and a B side. That there's a story that's implied in the way that it's created, and I think that that's, in my opinion, like I think that format still exists, whether or not there's a digital equivalency. For instance, if you wanted to look at Guernica by Picasso, you can do it on your computer.
Right.
But it does not mean that it will give you the same effect.
Right, exactly.
As if you would stand in front of the painting and view it as a viewer would in front of the work. And I think the same should be said, that it's always the album. I mean, you're always listening to an album, not just these are 11 songs.
I think that, I totally agree with that. Yeah, because...
I think like SoundCloud or MySpace, like they have their point in getting an instant gratification moment. But I think that... it's kind of like rock and roll radio.
Yeah.
Or like LPs, like they serve a purpose. Like you get in your car and you're driving and a great song comes on, like it makes you feel great. You look around at the landscape in a new way.
Uh-huh.
And it's the same thing with like reading along to the lyrics to your favorite new band's record.
Yeah. Love that.
I'll be on the road and someone will say, "Have you heard the new such and such record?" And I'll be like, "No, because I haven't gotten home yet." And they'll say, "What do you mean?" I'll go, "Well, I'm going to go down to Amoeba which is down the street from my house in Sunset Boulevard, buy the LP. I'm going to go home, put it on the turntable, and I'm going to look at the lyric sheet."
Yeah, I know.
That's just, Yeah.
That's a ritual. Fun. I grew up the same way, Ryan. I mean, that's how I got the knowledge of what I have as far as music knowledge that I can use with this career is that I stayed at home as a teenager listening to records and reading everything about who was playing on it, who produced it, when it was recorded, where it was recorded, all that stuff. And I just, you know, for your music, the album that really got me in that way as a body of work was the Gold album. That is still one of my favorite albums of all time. And the song La Cienega Just Smiled is probably one of my top five songs ever.
Thank you. Well, wow, that's so funny. That song is such a dark song.
I know it is. And every time I hear it, I get tears in my eyes, but it's just, I just love that song. Yeah, it is a very dark song, but you know, sometimes, I mean, some of my favorite Dylan songs are ones that are just, you know, he wrote at a really dark point in his life, but they just seem to get to me for some reason. So that's the beauty of music, isn't it?
I mean, yeah, it's so funny because that song, in a weird way, La Cienega is really honestly about, like, it's about Christmas in Los Angeles. And one of the first times that I'd spent there, where I went out there to spend Christmas with somebody, and then my friend went kind of AWOL because her brother had gone AWOL.
Mm.
So I ended up kind of just basically having Christmas in like basically this bar with, it was very strange. It was like it was this Spanish bar.
Okay.
And they were really nice to me. And it was about kind of like sort of going like, wow, I'm like spending Christmas in this kind of sort of semi-tropical environment, like
right.
I'm out of sorts.
Yeah.
So I would see that song from such a different perspective.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's funny too. Yeah. It was a really interesting thing for me to it was the first time I ever went like, wow, like you can get your feelings hurt by somebody that's 5'2". Really get brought down to the smallest size.
Right.
It was a very early and probably beginning of my more adult writing.
Okay. Yeah. There's just something about it that just strikes me. I mean, it just gets to a deep part. And that's what good music does. I mean, there's songs my litmus test is if I get goosebumps on my arms when I'm listening, then I think I'm onto something. So So I want to talk a little bit. I don't want to take too much of your time, but I did want to talk a little bit about concerts, seeing that we're, you know, promoting this concert of yours coming to town Wednesday at Pavilion at Toyota Music Factory. Do you remember the first time you ever walked into Royal Albert Hall or the Ryman Theater, what that felt like? Because these are kind of like cathedrals of rock and roll.
I mean, I've been to the Royal Albert Hall 3 times now, and which is awesome. Twice
yeah.
I played just as myself. And then once I joined, it was an unusual circumstance where one of my favorite bands, the Cowboy Junkies, were doing the Trinity Sessions.
Oh, right.
They were doing like the 20th anniversary or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And strangely, they hadn't played it in so long front to back. The story goes that Michael Timmins was talking to somebody. And he's like, we haven't played it in forever. Like, I don't even know if I remember how to play it or how to fill it out. And somebody said, call Ryan Adams. Which I thought was really interesting because I don't know why they would think about me, but I had spoken about that record quite a lot.
Okay.
And obviously, like, the sound of the guitar on that record and the feeling is something that I kind of have taken to heart. And sure enough, they did. I went to go play the record with them. And it was on my 30th birthday, strangely.
Wow.
Yeah, so I remember I flew in to do it. And weirdly, I didn't really prepare. I knew that I kind of would know the songs, but I sat down to play it in rehearsal with them and, like, just could see the first chord position for each song and literally could play the solos verbatim and could play the guitar. So I joined them for this one-off gig at the Royal Albert Hall with Cowboy Junkies and Ryan Adams, and I didn't do any of my songs. I just sat in as a guitar player.
Oh, that's pretty cool, though. I mean, how often do you get to do that, right?
No, it was very, very cool. And
yeah.
Then I played the Prince's Cancer Trust there also.
Okay.
Which is the Prince's Teenage Cancer Trust, which is a wonderful charity. And,
yeah.
And I put together this all-star band with Don Was on bass, Ben Mont Pench on organ and keys, Jeremy Stacey on drums, Ethan Johns on guitar, and Cindy Cashdollar on slide.
Wow.
And Yeah, and Glyn Johns went and mixed it, and it was very, very cool.
Yeah.
And then I just played there again only weeks ago, actually.
Okay.
I think it was a little less than 2 weeks ago is what I just that was the final UK date.
Okay.
But yeah, you walk in those places and there's a feeling, there's a reverence.
Oh, man.
There's like a mystical element to them. But
yeah, because you've studied this form of expression for long enough to know, you know, who played there and when and how important that venue actually is. So that's very cool. Do you remember your first concert? You can go ahead. What was your thought you were going to finish?
I was going to say that they're not that big. I mean, it seems like they are.
Right.
I mean, I've played Madison Square Garden a few times, and that's
big.
Definitely felt big the first time I played with the Rolling Stones there, and I remember the first time I was like, this place is humongous, but strangely, it doesn't seem that way later. Like, I went to see Black Sabbath on their final tour there, and really, you know, like, once you played a place like that, or once you've sort of gotten the lay of the land of like what those environments are like,
yeah,
they really don't feel any different.
Okay.
They don't, like, it's a 200 capacity club is far more intense.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
In a strange way. And also sonically, those places are so large that you actually have to play differently.
Yeah.
See that. So, yeah, but yeah, of course all venues are different.
Yeah, I remember I went to Red Rocks for the first time about 3 years ago, and it's a lot smaller than I thought it was going to be, you know, because I've seen it on video of, you know, bands that have played there, and then when I got there, I went, oh, this is not as big as I thought. So I imagine the same the Ryman's like, probably that way, too.
But, because, I mean, if you were to run up and down those stairs a couple of times at Red Rocks, you surely would be winded.
That would
it. It's a pretty steep climb.
And the thin air doesn't help either.
No, not at all. Actually, doing a two-hour show there is very interesting.
I bet.
It's a very strange thing for your voice. It's hard to get some of the notes out, and most of the musicians have to take oxygen before they play.
I would think. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
What was your first concert?
My first concert ever?
Yeah. No, I mean, not as a fan, not as a musician, but as a fan.
Well, that's an interesting thing. It's hard to say because I went to see, I played some shows when I was 16 years old as like a hardcore drummer. I played drums in this hardcore band and that I started to be in when I was 15. So I was around music and smaller shows, stuff that nobody would know, bands that nobody would recognize. But, and then some of my first shows that I ever saw where I got to see the Melvins in Richmond, Virginia. I drove along with some friends, and they sunk me in. I saw Dinosaur Jr., was unbelievable, at the Cat's Cradle. That was my first real club show.
Yeah, they're coming back to Dallas here real soon, next month, I think.
Yeah, and then my first ever stadium concert or semi-amphitheater stadium concert was R.E.M. right before the Green Thing went huge.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Yeah, I got to see them back in 85 or 86, I think it was, when Michael still had hair and it was down over his face. Kind of, you could hardly see his face. That was good.
He had hair then too, and Pylon opened. It was really, really cool.
Wow.
They were still mostly playing like Life's Rich Pageant and Document stuff.
Yeah.
And they were kind of playing a few things off of Green. It was very cool.
Yeah, that was very cool too. I think it was the Life's Rich Pageant tour that I saw. It was either that or Document. I can't remember. I can never remember which one it was, but it was one of those two tours that I saw. Very good. Very good. Hey, well, I don't want to take up too much more of your time, so I just want to thank you again for taking the time to talk to us, and thank you for your music. I mean, it's great to be a fan of somebody that is as rich in music as you are.
Thank you.
Sure.
I mean, I love it. It's what I do. It's what I'm going to keep doing.
Attaboy. Well, have a good time at the show, and have a good time down at ACL. I know you're going to be down in Austin off and on for the next couple of weeks, so enjoy yourself while you're here in Texas.
All righty.
All right. Thanks, Ryan.
Take care.
Bye.